I'm Kelly Beatty from Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment. Just bundle up really warmly and find a clear view of the sky. This month starts off with a celestial bang, so to speak, with the bright planets Venus and Jupiter close together in the southwest after sunset. They're about 2 degrees apart on December 1st, with a thin crescent moon nearby to form a compact triangle in the sky. It's a visual treat that you won't want to miss. In fact, if you live in Europe, you'll get to see the moon slide directly in front of Venus, an event called an occultation. Although these three objects look close together, the appearance is deceiving. The moon is only about 250,000 miles away, which is how much I've driven my car just in the past 10 years. Right now, Venus is 370 times farther away than the Moon, at 94 million miles, and Jupiter, at 540 million miles, is nearly 6 times farther than Venus. As the days pass, the two planets part ways, with Venus edging higher in the sky and Jupiter sinking lower. Meanwhile, the Moon migrates eastward along its orbit, culminating in full moon on December 12th. It comes round for new moon again on December 27th, reappearing in the evening sky just in time for New Year's Eve. This month you'll get a chance to see a nice meteor display. The Perseid and Leonid meteor showers might be better known, but the Geminid meteors are one of the year's very best and most reliable displays. Unfortunately, they peak this year on the weekend of December 13th and 14th, with a nearly full moon at its glary worst late at night. Only the brightest Geminids can slash into visibility across such moonlit skies. Watch for them between 10 p.m. and dawn. We see the Geminid meteors in mid-December of every year, like clockwork. Why so? Meteor showers happen when Earth plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and spread out along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminids' orbit each December. These meteors are unusual because their source isn't a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. Phaethon isn't very large, only about 3 miles across, and it was discovered fairly recently, in 1983. Before then, no one knew where the Geminids came from. Okay, while you're waiting for mid-December to roll around, let's do some stargazing. This month, the nearly full moon plows right across the Pleiades star cluster, and those of us in the Americas are positioned best to see it. It happens in late evening on Wednesday the 10th on the west coast, and after midnight on the 11th for the east coast. You likely won't see any of the cluster's stars using just your eyes, because the moon's glare will overwhelm them, but try using binoculars or a small telescope if you've got one. By the 15th, the moon rises late enough that you'll see the evening stars without moonlight washing out the view. Let's check out the constellation called Cassiopeia. You'll need to be looking north, in the general direction of Santa's workshop. You can find north, more or less, by noting where the sun sets and turning to your right. Now look high up in the sky, almost to overhead, until you spot 5 medium-bright stars in the shape of the letter M. Below that M, by about the width of 3 fists held at arm's length, is another medium-bright star all on its own. That's Polaris, the North Star. But let's get back to Cassiopeia. In mythology, she was a queen. Her husband, Cepheus, is represented by somewhat dimmer stars about 2 fists to her lower right. These stars make a pattern that reminds me of a house with a pointy roof that's tipped over toward the right. Now, Cassiopeia was one good-looking queen, and she knew it. In fact, she boasted that she was even more beautiful than the seductive sea nymphs. Well, this didn't sit well with Poseidon, who sent a sea monster to ravage the royal couple's land. The only way to stop the monster was for Cepheus and Cassiopeia to sacrifice their daughter, Andromeda, to the monster. You'll find Andromeda's stars directly overhead in early evening, even higher up than Cassiopeia's big M. Well, as Andromeda awaited her tragic fate, she was spotted by Perseus, the hero of our story, who just happened to be flying by in his winged sandals. To locate Perseus, look for a loose knot of stars about 2 fists to the upper right of the M. Now for the climax of our tale. Perseus slays the monster, frees Andromeda from her chains, and the two eventually get married. I just love these happy endings, don't you? But before I sign off this month, there's one more object I want you to look for. This works best in a dark sky when there's no moonlight. Get the M of Cassiopeia in view, then slide to the right until you're a little past the stars of Perseus. Stop when you get about 5 fists from the M. You should see a small fuzzy spot in the sky. Look harder. It's actually a little cluster of stars, small enough to cover with the tip of your little finger. That's the Pleiades star cluster. I mentioned this group near the beginning, but they're much easier to see with that big, fat, bright moon out of the way. How many individual stars can you count in the cluster? 5 or 6? 7? Another name for the Pleiades is the Seven Sisters, and I'll have more to say about them next month. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Until next time, I wish you clear skies.